I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time, and for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles.
Why don't you keep that page in your Bible open, or if you've not turned to it, we're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 2, first 7 verses. Any kids that are sat further back, if you'd like to come down and bob yourself on one of the benches, you can do that now. I've got sweets. There might be things that will be easier to see if you're on one of the benches. So if you want to come forwards, anyone going to come forwards? Dave's coming forwards. Right, why don't we pray? Let's pray together, guys. Father, we thank you that we can meet together. Thank you that we have Bibles in our hands and we can hear you speak. So help us this morning to listen carefully and to understand. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to start by showing you some pictures of three men on the screen. Okay? And each one of these men has a hobby. They do something that they think is really fun. So I want you to have a look at the pictures and see if you can guess what their hobby is. And if you guess correctly, there may well be a starburst available. Okay, so let's have picture number one. This is Kevin. That's not Kevin. Kevin should appear any moment now. There's Kevin. So have a look at the picture. There is a clue on there which helps you understand what his hobby is, what he loves. Anyone want to have a guess? Heather? Walking is a nice guess, but it's not walking. Anyone want to have another? Sorry, I don't know your name.
Cooper.
Cooper, what do you reckon?
Paintballing.
Not paintballing. Can't see any evidence of paintballing, but nice try. That would be an exciting hobby. This is boring. Think of something dull. Yes, Isabel. What do you think? Not sure? Going on even more boring than that. Let me tell you, Kevin is the president of the UK Roundabout Appreciation Society. So Kevin, at his weekends, picks up his camera and takes photos of roundabouts. That's what Kevin enjoys doing. That's his hobby. Okay, next picture. This is Archie. Here's Archie. Anyone want to have a guess at what you think Archie's hobby is? What does he love? Yes, what do you think? Building, not bad, not bad. More boring. Millie? No. No, 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 no. Bethany? You're getting very close. He calls himself a drain spotter. He enjoys going around and looking at drains in the grounds. I don't know why. That's Archie. Third picture. Here's the third picture. I should give out some sweets, so I'm going to get some ready in my hand. So, this is David. This one, I think, is probably the easiest to guess. I don't know your name either, sir.
Donovan.
Donovan, what do you reckon? Yes, he collects cones. He calls himself the Cone Ranger. So he has got more than 500 cones around his house. When he goes to dinner with people and he tells people that he enjoys cones, he wonders why people lose interest in talking to him. He calls himself the Cone Ranger. Now, all three of these men, Kevin, Archie, and I've forgotten the last person's name, he's boring, all three of these men belong to a club. And the club they belong to is called this, the Dull People's Club. You see, they're passionate about stuff that's boring, like roundabouts and drains and cones. But here's the thing. I wonder whether there are a lot of people, lots of people outside in Emerson's Green, and maybe some people in here, who think that the church is dull. That the church should really be called the Dull People's Club. You know, we talk about the Bible, and we read the Bible, and we discuss the Bible, and the Bible is preached. Maybe you're sat here this morning, and you think, do you know what, that is pretty dull. The church is the dull people's club. Well, if that is you, I want to tell you that you are mistaken. You are wrong. The church is not the dull people's club. God says in the Bible that the church is actually more like an army. An army of soldiers. And if you're a Christian, if you believe in Jesus, you are part of his army. You are a soldier. And what we do here on a Sunday morning, in here with the adults most of the time and out the back with the kids, is like training. Listening to God's voice. God is preparing us for a mission. We've already heard a little bit about that mission already this morning. A mission which involves telling other people about Jesus. It's a mission that's really hard. And it's a mission that means sometimes people get hurt. So that's what church is. We are an army. And this morning we're going to look at a chunk of the Bible that was written by a guy called Paul, and he wrote it to a guy called Timothy. And Timothy was like this officer in charge of a small church. And Paul says at the end of chapter 1, being a Christian is like being in a fight. It's in a battle. It's really hard. And in chapter 2, which we just had read, that Tom read, Paul tells Timothy what his secret weapon is. Paul tells Timothy what his secret weapon is. And if you're a Christian here this morning, it's your secret weapon too. So I'm going to read chapter 2, verse 1. See if you can spot the secret weapon. Paul says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Anyone spot it? Lots of long words in there. Don't worry about what they mean. What Paul is saying to Timothy. Do you reckon you spotted it? What's the secret weapon? Yes, good man. He says, Timothy, get the church praying. That's the secret weapon. You'll only make progress in your mission if you pray. Now, I guess most of you guys on the benches haven't seen the film Men in Black. Any of the adults seen the film Men in Black? I love the film Men in Black. A couple of us seen the film Men in Black. Let me tell you what it's about. It's one of those films where there's two special agents, and they are trying to save the galaxy. And they're trying to save the galaxy from an alien attack. Wait. So we've got Special Agent K, who is the older agent. He's the more experienced one. And we've then got Special Agent J, who's the younger one. And he's the cool one. He's played by Will Smith. Will Smith is cool. Okay? Now, the little clip I'm about to show you is when Agent K, the experienced one, he's worked for the Men in Black for many years. He's about to give Agent J his first ever weapon. Okay? Now, the quality isn't great, but enjoy watching this little clip. A feel when he was given that little gun, the noisy cricket. Someone I've not asked. Joey, how did he feel when he was given that tiny weeny gun? I don't think he was that grateful. Nice try. I think he felt something else. Jamie? Sad? Yeah, sad. I'll give you one for that. If he was sad. What do you reckon, Ella? Disappointed big time, Dan? Depressed, even. He was gutted that he was given the noisy cricket, that tiny gun. Why was he depressed or disappointed or gutted that he was given that gun of all guns? Okay. It was tiny, and he thought that that gun would do nothing against the aliens that have come to attack the world. But when he pulled the trigger on the noisy cricket, what happened? What happened when he pulled the trigger on that noisy cricket, Josh? He was shot backwards because the power overwhelmed him, didn't it? He shot backwards into the wall, into rubbish bins, and into a car windscreen. Well, when Christians are told to pray in the Bible, it can feel a little bit like that. When Paul writes to Timothy, first of all, the most important thing is to pray. Sometimes Christians can feel a little bit disappointed. We want something more dramatic to help us on our mission. But even though prayer can sometimes feel weak and small, actually, because the God of the Bible is all-powerful, it's the best thing to do. That's the secret weapon for the Christian, to pray. And this morning, we're going to look at two things about prayer from our verses. We're going to ask two big questions. And the first question is, who do we pray for? Who do we pray for? If you've got a Bible, adults, why don't you have a look at verse 1? Kids, it will be on the screen. I'm going to read it out. See if you can spot who do we pray for. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people. Anyone spot it? Easy, easy. What do you reckon? Who are we praying for? Good man. We're praying for all people. For all people. All kinds of people. There's no group of people that we shouldn't pray for. Now, I need a couple of volunteers. Tom Williams was going to volunteer. Up you come, Tom. Tom Williams, and I need... Josh, why don't you come up? So, I need a chair, actually. I forgot to get a chair. I'll grab one. Right, Josh, why don't you stand on there to start with? Tom, you kneel down on there, please. On my shoes. On the shoes. So, we're to pray for different groups of people. And I'm going to illustrate some different groups of people here, okay? So we've got two groups. Can you reach these, Tom? Who have we got? What different types of people am I trying to illustrate here? And work with me. We've got a... Come on, I want an answer from a child that can get a sweet. Tolu. Hi-o.
Because it's, one is tall, one is small.
Exactly. One is tall, one is small. Okay, I'm going to... staying in this position, they're tall and short. I'm just having a look at their hair. Okay, so in Tom's hair, I can spot a few.
Wax.
Well, there's a lot of wax and dandruff, but no. No, so there's a few grey hairs in Tom, and Josh's hair is looking lovely, lovely and brown all the way through. How else could we describe these two people? Grey hairs, brown hairs. Yes. Hang on. Remembering name. You have to remind me, what's your name? Josh. What do you think? What was I trying to say? One is light and one is dark. That is right. There's something else as well. Anyone not answered? Yes.
One's old and one's young.
One's very old and one's very young. Exactly. Okay, I've got one more. Okay, Tom. Just that's for you. Hold on for a sec. Oh, that is really heavy, Tom. Don't hurt yourself. Old man. Right, I need to just put a bit more weight in this one because it's deflated. That goes down pretty quick, so we have to get a move on. Now, let me just feel Tom those arms. Oh, Josh. So, hold that, Josh. That is, be careful, it's very heavy. Hold it both hands. Right, now I'm going to give you 10 seconds, and it's whoever can do the most arm curls. Okay, ready? So, ready? Should we count them down from 10? Not from 10, we'll count from 10. Let's all go. So, ready? And when we start counting, you start lifting. And count how many you do, Josh. Yes, if 1, 2, 3. As fast as you can. You've got to go really fast. Ready? 10. Go. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, stop. How many did you do, Tom? You lost?
100.
No! He thinks he did 100, Josh. How many did you do?
19.
1,000! So we have got, who have we got here? We've got two different groups of people. Who have we got? Joey? We've got strong and weak, okay? Yeah, so we've got all sorts of different types of people, guys. Thank you. Why don't you take your seats? Tommy, you can't have one of these.
Oh, okay. Here you go, Josh.
We've got all sorts of different types of people. And the Bible says we are to pray for all kinds of people. Strong and weak, tall and short, rich and poor, really clever, people that haven't had opportunity to go for school, people all over the world, wherever they're from, whatever their background is, whatever they've done, whether they're good or bad, we're to pray for those people. So Christian soldiers, we are to pray for all people. And that might even mean praying for people that we don't like very much. The horrible head teacher or the bullying boss. Maybe you can right now think of someone in your mind that you have never ever prayed for. Somebody that you don't even get along that well with. Paul is saying to Timothy, and God is saying to us, the church, Christians are to pray for all people. Now, do you know, this would have been really hard for Timothy to hear from Paul, because he lived in a time where a man called the Emperor Nero reigned. And this man, Emperor Nero, hated all Christians. Emperor Nero put Christians in jail. He had them tortured, and he even had them killed for fun. So he was a very, very cruel man. But Paul is saying to Timothy, you are to even add Emperor Nero to your prayer list. Now, Dave mentioned it a few moments ago, or someone guessed it a few moments ago. Does anyone know, can anyone remember, where is the most dangerous place in the world at the moment to be a Christian, to live as a Christian? Anyone hear what was said? Connie? North Korea is the most dangerous place in the world to be a Christian. You're actually forbidden in North Korea to believe in God. North Korea is called the land of silence. There are some very brave Christians in North Korea, but one out of every five Christians is kidnapped, taken away and put into a prison camp, and probably never to be seen again. One in five. Often parents don't tell their children that they're Christians, because they can't afford for the children to slip up and let it leak. People very rarely mention the name Jesus. They call him the One. And Christians in North Korea say that their lives... Can I come and hold this candle for me? Face those guys. Christians in North Korea say that their lives are like a candle. Hold it carefully. Come on. There we go. Why do you think Christians in North Korea say that their lives are like candles? Anyone that's not answered want to have a go? You think you know? What do you reckon? Jesus said he was the light of the world. Definitely, he is. And that's the people in North Korea's hope. But people in North Korea, Christians, say that they think their lives are like a candle. Heather, what do you reckon? Yeah. If they say one wrong word about they believe in Jesus, their life is blown out. And they're gone. Thank you. Why don't you put it down? Here you go. That's the... And the man who is called the supreme leader in North Korea is a guy called Kim Jong-un. And the Bible is telling us that even for cruel leaders like him, we should pray for them. Pray that he would stop persecuting, hurting Christians. That he would want peace for Christians in the land and protect them. That's what Paul says to Timothy at the end of verse 2. Pray for them so that Christians can live peaceful and quiet lives. North Korea is one of the worst, but there are 50 countries on that map that Dave showed us. And it would be great, wouldn't it, if as a church, we took those maps away and we thought, you know, every so often, once a week, twice a week, we're going to pray for the leaders in that country. pray for the Christians in that country. So we pray for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that Christians may live peaceful and quiet lives. So that's our first question. Who do we pray for? Before we look at question number two, we're going to sing a song. So we're going to sing, "We Want to See Jesus Lifted High." So when the music starts, let's stand and sing together. Down. So, the church is God's army. If you're a Christian, you're a soldier on a mission with every other Christian to tell people about Jesus. And our secret weapon is to pray for all people. And here's our second question. Why? Why do we pray for all people? And in our Bible passage, there are two big reasons. The first one comes in verse 4. God, our Saviour, wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants all people to be saved. Now, kids, guys on the benches, I'd love you to sit quietly just for 2 minutes because I'm going to speak to the adults. Obviously, listen in. I want to speak to the adults just briefly. This verse has fueled theological discussion. We don't have time to go into it in depth. We can chat about it more afterwards. But I do want to briefly touch on the issues. So we need to be clear what this verse doesn't mean. It doesn't mean, first of all, that all people will be saved. That's not what the verse is saying. The Bible is very clear. Only those who trust in Jesus will be saved. John 3, verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life. Not everyone will be saved. That's why we're on mission, why we're here in Emerson's Green, to tell people about Jesus, that they might hear too and believe in him. But it's also important when we read a verse like this to cling on to and hold on to the fact that God is still 100% in charge. He is totally sovereign. The fact that God wants all people to be saved, but that all people won't be saved, doesn't mean that God isn't in control. Again, when you read the Bible from beginning to end, the Bible shows us that God is all powerful. Nothing whatsoever happens without his say-so. Job says to God, "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted." So God wants all people to be saved. Not everybody will be saved, but that doesn't mean God's purposes are thwarted. He is totally sovereign. I know I'm recommending books a lot at the moment, but I want to flag up this one as well. We've just got it on our little book table, Big God. Again, it deals with these sort of questions that we all have when we begin to think about these things seriously. How is God at work in the world? What about free will and God's sovereignty? What's the point of praying? I love this book because it's less than 150 pages. Which is always good. So we've got 5 copies. We're doing it for £5, down from 8. So if these sort of questions, the questions you're asking, then do get this book, £5, at the back afterwards. Okay, back to verse 4. God wants all people to be saved. And what this verse shows us, what it gives us a glimpse of, is God's heart. He loves all people. You and me and every member of our families and our friends, each of our neighbours and colleagues, even the people who hate Christians, God still loves them. And for us, if we're praying for these people to be saved, the great encouragement is that God wants exactly the same thing. God wants all people to be saved. Now, kids, one more reason why we should pray. And it's in verse 6. Christ Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all people. And the key word is ransom. Now, I need a volunteer. They need to be sat down. And they need to be brave, okay, because they need to go in this box. Nehemiah, yes. Okay, I might have to lift you up to put you in. Are you happy for me to lift you up? Ready? Oh. Right, bob yourself down. Oh, my tape. Help. Sorry, Neil, I've got to put extra tape on. Okay, so Nehemiah is a hostage. Anyone want to see Nehemiah? There he is. Okay, Nehemiah is a hostage. What does it mean if somebody's been taken hostage? What's happened to Nehemiah? Really? He's been put in prison in a kind of way, hasn't he? Yeah, he's trapped. He's imprisoned. He's a hostage. Now, the only way a hostage can be released, the only way this hostage can be released is if a ransom is paid. A price has to be paid. Anyone tell me, what's the price on here for Nehemiah to be released from captivity? Bethany? £100. £100 has to be paid for Nehemiah to be released. Josh, have you got £100 in your pocket? To pay the ransom? No? Anyone have £100 to pay the ransom? You got £100? Let's have a look then. £100 at home? No good now. Nehemiah needs it now. Anyone on these benches got £100? With you right now, Dan? Sorry, Nehemiah, no one can pay the ransom. Any adults here bring £100 with them to church? Any adults? Nehemiah, nobody can pay the ransom fee. How are you doing in there? You're good. Oh dear. Anyone got £100 to pay the ransom fee? Brilliant. Let's count it out. 50, 70, 80, 90, 95, £100. Nehemiah, someone has paid the price to set you free. Would you like to be free? Yes. Are you sure? Okay, keep your hands away from the top. Oh, I can't get you out, Nehemiah. Hang on, let me try one more time. Okay, can you push the top? There he is. Okay, up you go. I'll lift you out. Ready? Let's give Nehemiah a round of applause. So Nehemiah had been imprisoned. He was trapped. And the only way for him to be set free was if a price was paid. And the Bible says, in a very similar way, all people are trapped. All people are imprisoned. We've all turned our back on God. That all means that we deserve to be punished. The only way for us to be set free from that punishment, is if a price is paid. And Jesus was the one who paid that price. But no amount of money could ever set people like me or people like you free. Jesus had to come and pay the price with his own life. Jesus didn't hand over a £50 note. He handed himself over, and his body was broken, and his blood was shed. And when he paid the price, it almost was like the door was swung open wide. And anyone at all who now believes in Jesus can be set free. Will no longer face the punishment they deserve, but can look forward to life forever with God. Maybe you're not a Christian here this morning. Jesus has paid the ransom. If you believe in Jesus, trusting in him, calling him your Lord and your Savior, he promises you freedom forever. For those of us who are Christians, who do trust in him as our rescuer, the one who paid the price for us,